Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
But here's the proposition. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Could you read that out loud with me? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, just while you're standing a moment, and this is not the sermon, this is absolutely for free right here. But it's Father's Day. And you know, for some of us guys, this is not critical of you ladies at all, but it is a little critical of church sometimes. Sometimes church can get awfully feminine for some of us. You know, I love the worship songs we sang this morning, but sometimes worship song, you don't know if you're singing to your girlfriend or your God. It's pretty sentimental. It's pretty syrupy. I'm sorry for saying that, but and pretty emotional. And then for most of us guys, most of the women in our lives, I mean, they're probably, like my wife, is more intuitive than I am. And she just connects emotionally with events and relationships in a way I don't. Sometimes the culture calls us guys blockheads, and we're not exactly blockheads, but sometimes it's very easy for men to feel spiritually insecure and even spiritually inferior to the women of God that are around us, because we're not quite so intuitive and emotional, and we sing songs that normally guys don't talk like. It just is reality. I don't know if any of you guys can relate with me, but there are moments I find church just like, okay, I get this because there's ladies around me, but, you know, it's pretty feminine here. And I don't know what your leadership will be for the future of Central, but wouldn't it be awesome if this was a place guys love coming as well as women? And I just believe that our spirituality can address the needs of everybody, because there's no age modifier here and there's no gender modifier here. It just simply says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I don't care how spiritually inferior you might feel and spiritually insecure, you can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might because of the Holy Spirit, right? Right? Okay, so one more time out loud. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So do we welcome the heart-changing work of God's Spirit through his word today? Yes, amen. Yes, amen. You may be seated. The question is, how does the Holy Spirit make us strong? So I'd like you to go now with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Next week, we're going to go into Acts chapter 4, but we're going right to Acts chapter 8. This is a rather unusual chapter in the book of Acts because it catalogs for us so many of the tangible, specific ways that God makes us strong. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Well, how does the Spirit do that? And there's at least 7 or 8 ways illustrated in Acts chapter 8 of how the Holy Spirit makes us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Whether you're a lady, whether you're a man, whether you're old, whether you're young, all of these apply to us all. They make us strong in the Lord. This is how the Holy Spirit works. Now, I've picked just 6 of them, and for reasons I'm not even sure of, but over the years I've kind of got away from using acrostics when I preach, you know, but I'm going to break my own rule and do it this morning. And this only works in English. For those of you who are missionaries, I'm sorry about that, but this only works in English. But the word Spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T, actually it outlines 6 of the ways that God makes us strong in sequential order as we go through the book, the chapter of Acts 8. And the S, I want to suggest, can stand for the simple fact that God's Spirit strengthens us because, first of all, he stretches us. He stretches us. For most of us, our categories and even our circumstances need to change before profound, ongoing shaping of the Spirit's life in us also happens. And so, verse 3 of Acts 8, Saul began to destroy the church. And going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. These are Christians. These are men and women from the new church in Jerusalem. The church is probably only months old. And Saul just goes on a rampage. God will get him later. He'll become the Apostle Paul. But right now, he's on a rampage, an unholy rampage, to destroy the Christian church. And it's not fun to be dragged out of your house and thrown into prison. Along with that would be being beaten, mistreated, deprived, and tortured, and then killed. So, we get the next verse. So, those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. In other words, they were running for their lives, these people. But I tell you, God's Spirit was right in the heart of this moment in their lives. I want to tell you, this is always God's plan for taking us deeper. He will always unsettle us before he resettles us closer to the heart of his purposes for it. If you are today not right with God, if you're not right with God today, you may feel distress in your spirit. You may even wake up at nights because people are praying for you and you're just distressed in your spirit. You are feeling very unsettled about your sin, very unsettled about turning your back on God and going another way. This is God's way. This is the work of the Spirit. Sometimes we call it the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He's unsettling you so that he can resettle you in the life and grace and peace and freedom of Jesus. So he unsettles us before he resettles us. Some of you have recently had role changes in your jobs or new jobs or medical diagnoses that you don't understand and you didn't ask for. But I just believe God is active in everything. Whether he causes everything to happen or not is immaterial. I think we're often touched with the buckshot of the enemy's fire and the fallenness of our world. All I know is that in all things, God is working for the good of those who trust him to make them more like Jesus. And God's plan often, because we tend to live too comfortable with what we know and is familiar. And as a result, we live too safely. Too often, we're not taking steps of faith. Spiritual breakthroughs usually come when we take steps of faith, but it'd be easier to live safely. I mean, all of these things. So how does the Holy Spirit help us? How does the Holy Spirit lead us to places of greater dependence on him? And even when we resist those unsettling seasons, I don't like it here. And we blame God. Why did you let this happen? And God's saying, that's not the right question. It's not why. The question is, Lord, where can I find you in a deeper way? Because I just believe God's Spirit is constantly organizing appointments with us so that he can introduce himself to us more powerfully and in greater ways. So God's Spirit will unsettle you. He's kind and he's good, but he loves you enough to unsettle you at times in new kinds of seasons that reposition you closer to God's place. I was even in a conference a month ago where the Assemblies of God held a conference for international students studying in the United States at American universities. So at this conference, nearly 300 students. There are people from all over the world. I'll never forget one conversation with and they were both like physics students, like I used to be, right? And so we were a student from Japan, student from Africa, and we were just sitting there having the greatest conversation about physics and multidimensionalness and cosmology, not to be mistaken for cosmetology. We're guys here. We were talking about cosmology and multiverses and all this kind of stuff. And I even watched, and this happens in every one of us, even the intellectual stretching that happens, that God's not threatened by. He made it all anyway. He's not threatened by even the intellectual stretches. Even our battles with doubt. I mean, he allows these seasons so that he can reintroduce himself to us and his purposes can be released in our lives. Here, these people are very uncomfortable. For the sake of their own self-preservation, they are fleeing Jerusalem because of the persecution. God is unsettling them to resettle it. In one way or another, usually the initial stages of God's work in us deeper is to stretch us. And then it does say that they preached the word everywhere they went, including an evangelist by the name of Philip. And here we'll see the Spirit at work again. This time, he's not stretching them. He's promoting Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit always does. He promotes Jesus. And so Philip, verse 5, went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For, listen to this, so he's doing signs, he's preaching the Messiah, or the Greek would be, he's preaching Christ, the Greek word, Jesus. And he's doing miraculous things. He's praying for people, they're being healed. All the work of Jesus is taking place here by the power of the Spirit. And even evil is being evicted. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, the night before Jesus was crucified, he once said to his disciples, "Now, when I'm gone, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to teach you and make real to you everything I've taught you." In fact, he goes to this length. He said, and he's not going to talk about himself. Now, I know no human beings that don't love talking about themselves. I mean, I've been with introverts, but all you have to do is ask them three good questions and they spend the next 2 hours talking about themselves. I mean, I don't care who you are. Come on, you love talking about yourself. I tend to be more in a listener than a talker, but my good friend Dick Brogdon down here, all he has to do is buy me breakfast and ask me two good questions, and I'm talking the whole hour. I don't know how he does that. But Jesus said he's not going to talk about himself, the Holy Spirit. Wow. But he's going to talk about me. And he's going to take the things that I am, the things that I teach, and the things that I'm about to do on the cross for you. And he is going to be the one. You know, I used to love secret agent stories and movies when I was a kid. But the Holy Spirit is God's not-so-secret agent in the world. And he's taking and enforcing everything that Jesus did when he died for our sins and defeated Satan. And by his wounds on the cross, we can be healed. He's taking all of that. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and applies that. He applies the work of Jesus to people's lives. That's why bodies are being healed, miracles are being done, and demons are being cast out. Because that's what Jesus came to do, to evict evil and to reverse brokenness and bring healing. That's what he came, that's the mission of Jesus. And I love this. This is the Holy Spirit. Often we don't share Christ with non-Christian friends because, you know, we just feel this pressure, like I've got to convince them. I know people have weighed evidence, but I don't know anybody who's come to Jesus because I beat them in an argument. I mean, you know, and I put so much pressure on myself to convert people. I want to tell you, you may not be very verbal. You may not feel very spiritually confident, but the pressure's not on you. This is what the Holy Spirit's for. Wherever you are, you're God's person, and you're not alone. He gave you the Holy Spirit, and things can happen to convince people and to reveal Jesus. This is the Spirit's job, to promote Jesus. The pressure's not on you, so just go tell everybody. And don't try to worry about what the results may or may not be. Just let the Holy Spirit come through. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. The Holy Spirit puts a spotlight on Jesus, promotes Jesus. And of course, this could be six sermons this morning, so for your sake, I'm moving on quickly. S, he stretches us. P, he promotes Jesus. The next thing we see is that the Holy Spirit imparts power, imparts power. So it's been quite a time in Samaria. All these people are coming to Jesus as Philip's preaching. All these signs and wonders are being done. And we're told that they've been baptized in water and there's joy in the city. Now look at verse 14. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Remember Peter and John, or Peter, James, and John, Jesus' closest inner three. Peter and John came to Samaria, and when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there, Not so that they could go to heaven. They've already received Jesus. They've already been baptized in water. But so that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, speaking of water baptism. But the Holy Spirit had not come upon any of them. Then Peter placed, and John placed their hands on them, and the Spirit came upon them. Or in the words of Luke here, they received the Holy Spirit. I did a whole message last Sunday on being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we just looked at one or two verses of this larger paragraph. But this is what God's Spirit also does. He stretches us so that we're ready, that we just need Him more. He promotes Jesus. He always centers us in Jesus. And then He imparts tangible power to us. He imparts power. This is not self-actualization. This is not self-realization. And this is not emotional hype. This is God's power coming into your life. This is not you reaching your potential. This is God's Spirit bringing His potential into your life. The God who created heavens and earth. Can you believe that? That's unbelievable. His power coming into our lives. And they placed their hands on them. Why? Because Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Be my witnesses. You be my mouthpiece to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's why when they experience this, in most every event that's recorded to us, it says they also spoke in tongues. They just, it's like they became God's mouthpiece. God gives you tangible power so that the pressure isn't on you. As you be God's person wherever you are. I've spent so much time putting so much pressure on myself. Like, oh, I got to be just right. And I got to get all this stuff right. And I got to be in the right place. And what if I miss it? And all of this. And you know what? Part of my spiritual growth, the more I try to walk in the Spirit. I mean, I'm just happier. I'm just more relaxed. I mean, I just less pressure on me. I have less insecurity fits. I honestly don't trip over myself and all my insecurities near as much as I did 20 years ago when I was younger and walking with the Lord. Why? Because the pressure's on Him. He gives me His power. I can lean on Him. I don't have to do this with teeth gritting discipline. His Spirit remakes my heart. I just need to be hungry. You hear me say it all the time. We just need to stay hungry for God. And listen, He imparts power to you. Now I'm back to you guys. Some of us don't like this because we think we got to be emotional and all this sort of thing. But you know what? You may be emotional, you may not. All I've found is that the power of the Holy Spirit is different than emotional energy. And I like when God links the two. Sometimes when I feel the presence of God, like earlier in the service, tears will come to my eyes. I love, something moves me about the presence of God. But I also had to learn that this isn't dependent on my feelings. My feelings are up and down, and it's not that. I'll never forget when I was a university, I was still an engineering student, and we had this spiritual breakthrough in a Bible study I was leading. We grew to nearly 100, and I remember a gal was coming to that. And she came forward to pray in one of our ministry times and one of our weekly student gatherings there at the University of Minnesota. I'll never forget praying for her. And like nothing happened that I could see. I mean, she didn't cry. She didn't respond. She didn't even say, oh, well, praise God. She just stood there. Her eyes were closed. She didn't move her mouth. She just stood there motionless. And I was trying to pray. So I just prayed harder for her. Oh, God, get her. And she just stood there. And so I walked away, and I remember all that week just kicking myself, like, Bradford, you've lost it. You know, you used to pray for people and things would happen. Now you pray for people, nothing happens. Until she came back the next week. And I'll never forget it. These are her exact words. She said, Jim, thank you for praying for me last week. Ever since you prayed for me, my life has been a whirlwind of the activity of God. Except this time, God kind of bypassed all the emotional circuits. Listen, you don't have to be kind of some emotional mush to experience the power of God. God's Spirit is not necessarily your emotions. God's Spirit comes by faith, not by feeling. And we just stand on who we are in Christ, and we know that He's given us the power. That's why we have confidence. And who knows what God's going to do. So I saw her 2 years ago. I didn't retell that story because I didn't want to make her feel bad. Like, You just stood there like a piece of stone. You know, how do you say that politely? But I saw her just 2 years ago. Like, this is 35 years later. She's still loving Jesus with all her heart. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be emotional. You don't have to be hyped. You just need the power of God. He imparts His Spirit. And then R. So He stretches us. He promotes Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He imparts power to us. It's not our own. R. And He reveals His direction. He reveals direction to us. So the story in Samaria is over, but we're not out of Acts 8 yet. We're now to verse 26 of Acts 8. And it says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Remember, he's the guy leading that great move of God, preaching, and all these people getting saved in Samaria, Philip, the evangelist. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And the Spirit of the Lord told Philip, down in verse 29, then the Spirit of the Lord told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, I love this about God's Spirit. I used to also lay awake at night worrying, like, God, what if I miss your will? But I want to thank God, no matter how much of a spiritual blockhead I can feel some days, God knows how to talk to me in ways I understand. And He knows how to talk to you in ways that you will understand. You can trust this about the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you wake up every day and saying, Lord, I'm not mine, I'm yours. I'm in your hands. You know what? God takes that very seriously. God takes that probably way more seriously than you do. And He says, then I will lead you. And I will reveal whatever direction you need. And I love this about the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes He's orchestrating events and circumstances that get me at exactly the right place at the exactly right time. And I don't even realize He's doing it. I mean, He's that sovereign. You're in His hands, and He knows how to lead you. He knows how to direct you. Now, it says the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. We know there's angels, although it's not beyond Luke, who's writing this, to use angel of the Lord as a metaphor for God's Spirit, but it's really real specific to us in verse 29. He said, I want you to go. So Samaria's north of Jerusalem, and He said, I want you to go to the road that heads south from Jerusalem and then over to the coast by Gaza, and partway you're going to go through desert, and that's where I want you to go. I just want you to go there. It took a while to walk there, and He said, I just want you to go there. And so He's down in this desert. He's on the road. He sees this caravan, and that's when it says, not just the angel of the Lord, but the Spirit said to him, I want you to go up over near that chariot and stay near it. Stay near it and just listen. So here's Philip obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't always understand, you know, there's our own voice. Sometimes we call that the voice of the flesh. There's demonic voices. And I'm not at all talking about, like, the voices of mental illness or paranoia. I'm just talking about the kind of voices we hear, you know, as healthy, ordinary people. You know, and then there's the voice of God. And I think it's a lifelong journey learning to distinguish the Spirit's voice from other voices. But I just want you to tell, you can't give up the starting assumption, God wants to speak to me. You can't give up that assumption. Yeah, but I thought He did once, and it turned out not to be God. Well, okay, fine. But don't give up the starting premise that God still wants to speak to you. I mean, I've made mistakes hearing the voice of God. I find if it's just me, it's very impatient. Like my flesh, it always wants to say, I want, I want, I want. And if I'm really impatient about a decision, often I found it's not the voice of God. If it's a demonic voice, sometimes when I'm under spiritual attack, it's like sandpaper grating on my spirit. I just feel very pushy. I just feel pushed those things keep coming to me, and it's like you can't get them out of your head. That's sometimes because we're in a spiritual battle. That's the voice of the enemy. But I found that God's Spirit, His voice is often not the loudest. It's definitely not the pushiest or most impatient voice I hear. And if I can test the voice of God with a little time, I'll try to do it so that when my mood changes, my circumstance changes. I do find, however, that God's voice is the most persistent voice I hear. It may not be the loudest, but it's the most persistent. And He just wants to keep talking to you. I want you to keep your ears open. Listen, the Spirit of God will stretch you, promote Jesus through your life. It'll impart power to you. But He also wants to give you direction. And the Spirit of God said to Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then we see the next thing the Holy Spirit does to strengthen us. This is all about how the Spirit of God helps us to stand in His strength and the power of His might. And the next thing is that He illuminates Scripture. He illuminates Scripture. And you just know that whenever you're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a head-on collision with God's Word at some point. Because, right, God's Spirit and His Word always work together. That's why you feel, Paul said the Spirit, the Word is the sword the Spirit uses. It's His Word and His Spirit are always working together. And you notice the Spirit didn't say to Philip, go near that chariot and introduce yourself or start up a conversation. He just says, go to that chariot and just stay near it. Just stay near it. Why? Because he was letting Philip know how that God's Spirit was setting this guy up. And he hears, and he's an Ethiopian man. And he's been up to the temple to worship, at least to whatever degree he would be allowed. He wouldn't be allowed into the inner courts of the temple, but to whatever degree he could. He was a God-fearing Gentile, probably. He was from Africa. He would have been different culture, different skin color than Philip. And God's got this guy's number. And this guy, at the moment Philip shows up, I mean, these are God appointments. This is what the Spirit of God can do. At the moment he shows up, Philip just comes alongside, and he doesn't start a conversation. He just listens, and he hears this Ethiopian man, this wealthy man, this attendant to the queen in Ethiopia. He hears him reading, of all places in the Old Testament, what are the odds of this happening? He's reading out of Isaiah 53, which is the great story of why Jesus, written 700 years earlier, why Jesus died and rose again. In fact, this is the passage we're told in verse 32. This is the passage, the scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. And who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. This is also the same chapter in Isaiah where we read the words, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that made for my peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Same chapter. Well, that's a setup. That's the work of God's Spirit. You can always trust. God's Spirit's always gone before you. But at some point, He's going to bring us into a collision course with His Word, because His Word and His Spirit always work together. I love when I hear people say, when I met Christ, I started reading the Bible, and it just came alive to me. I love when I hear stories, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, I just understood God's Word like I'd never understood it before. I want to tell you, that's what happens when God's Spirit comes. He illuminates Scripture. And then he used Philip to explain what this was all about. And God's Spirit speaking through a Spirit-filled man further illuminated Scripture. And this is what God's Spirit wants to do. He wants to make His Word real to us. So God's Spirit stretches us, promotes Jesus, imparts power, reveals direction, illuminates Scripture. I mean, it's been quite a chapter, but it's going to end with a bang. And this is wild. I'll just warn you. This is wild. So the Ethiopian gets baptized. Some ancient church traditions say he is the one who introduced Christianity to Africa initially. We're not totally sure if that's the case, but that's ancient church tradition. But this man meets Christ. It's all over. He's been baptized. He says goodbye. The caravan goes down the road. And all of a sudden, we see that God's Spirit also transports us. Yeah. Yeah. Beam me up, Scotty. This is it for all you Trekkies out there. This is it. Verse 39, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus, which is over by the, this is not the middle of the desert, this is right by the Mediterranean Sea. He appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. In the Greek it says, suddenly the Spirit of the Lord, what does the Holy Spirit do? It snatched him away, snatched him up. It's the same word used elsewhere in the New Testament to talk about the day when Jesus comes for us. And he's going to snatch us up. And if you reread the literal Greek, it says, and Philip found himself in Azotus. I mean, God just flat out transported him like that, 25 or 30 miles, literally. And he disappeared from the desert, and he showed up by the Mediterranean seaside. Just boom. Just did it. Philip found himself. I mean, could you imagine that moment in Philip's life? Like, he just found himself right by the Mediterranean Sea. And he's going like, now that's the way to travel. No TSA. No too narrow airline seats with not enough leg room. No long hours. I mean, God snatched him up and Philip found himself right beside the Mediterranean Sea. Well, it's the only time I know of in the Bible or any other time that God actually did that. Except I think it was God's picture to say, here's what else, here's the last thing the Holy Spirit's going to do. Someday he's going to snatch you and me up. And we're going to find ourselves in another dimension, in another place. No more evil, no more darkness, no more frailty, no more pain, no more tears. Look at how he puts it in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That, by the way, is more than a sign on the church nursery. Sleep is not literal sleep. It's we'll not all die, but we will all be changed in a different way. We're going to be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. There it is. In fact, the Bible tells us that our salvation, God's work of reclaiming our lives, it starts when we meet Jesus. And then gives us the power of His Spirit. But it's not done till He comes again and snatches us away. And these old mortal bodies are changed into immortal bodies by the power of His Spirit. I mean, in the same way that He picked up Philip in one place, out of a dry, thirsty, hot old desert. Except, unlike Philip, we're not going to find ourselves in another place where we could be subject to the same hardships. But we're going to find ourselves someday in the presence of the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. I want to tell you, Paul said, the Spirit of God is given, when we come to Christ, we're sealed by the Spirit of God, and He's given to us as a deposit holding us for the inheritance that's going to come when we're snatched away and our redemption is complete. In other words, you probably have some amazing Holy Spirit. Some of you have some amazing Holy Spirit stories already in your life. And you just walk daily in the power of the Spirit. And you're walking in the strength of the Lord. But that's just the deposit. You ain't seen nothing yet. That's just the deposit to hold us for the day when we're snatched away. God's Spirit is just kind of like the down payment. Just sealing us and holding us for what's really coming. An eternity with Christ by the power of His Spirit. I'd like you to stand with me. Last half hour, we've just walked through some of the ways I noticed in Acts chapter 8 that God's Spirit strengthens us. Stretching you. Some of you are stretching you right now. Really stretching you. You don't even like it. He doesn't ask that you like it. But He's getting you ready for another encounter with the Lord where God will introduce Himself in ways that you haven't needed before, but that are going to take you farther. He's promoting Jesus through you this week at the office, maybe this afternoon with your kids if you have them and they're around. You're God's person. Jesus, like people can sense the life of Jesus all around you. And the pressure's not on you to push Jesus on people, but the Spirit of God. Just talk. Just encourage people and let the Spirit of God promote Jesus through you. And stay hungry for the Holy Spirit. We've really been seeing a move of God's Spirit last couple of weeks, I was especially impressed with the men that have been. One guy called me a little over a week ago. He said, "Our anniversary service is like I've been in just a spiritual desert for year for the longest time, months and months. It's like God unlocked something in my spirit that morning." And He can keep imparting power to you. And direction. Some of us have huge decisions ahead. Maybe He can reveal. I know His Spirit is there to reveal directions in ways you understand. And He can make God's Word alive to you in a fresh way. And we can live with the confidence that the best of what we experience of God's Spirit is just preparing us for that day that will introduce eternity.